and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How is it that Good Friday should somehow stand on the bitterest and yet sweetest brink of all human history? Are we not deeply ashamed that we have in our own lives abandoned him, have turned course and denied him in our actions, and have in that sense cried out in our pain and confusion, crucify him? Yet are we not keenly aware that we also stand on the threshold of his victory over Satan, over sin, over death, all for our sakes? What is this strange place we call Good Friday? It is neither here nor there, for it fits into no category that we can conceive. And it sets the mind spinning as our hearts break, and yet our minds look ahead to Easter. In some faint way, we begin in our own many repetitions of the church year to get a modest glimpse into God's perspective as he sees every moment at once, yet is present to us in one holy moment after another, in our time-bound world. Jesus' last words on the cross, according to St. Mark and St. Matthew, stand insistently on this point of two places, of sorrow and victory, of despair and exaltation, of grieving and rejoicing, each felt in equal measure deeply. How is it that we can experience our deepest sorrow and our greatest joy in the selfsame moment? Many biblical commentators explain Jesus' despair in Gethsemane by pointing to the fullness of his humanity, which they see echoed in the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But I see him on the cross as very God of very God. For his last words to us in these Gospels are the name of a well-known psalm, Psalm 22, which he invokes by uttering its four first words. Now, this is something that everybody did and still does. Jews of his time, for example, would refer to their greatest prayer by uttering a single word, Shema. Hear, O hear, Israel. To this day, our psalms are named for their opening words. Open the Book of Common Prayer, and you will see Psalm 22 is called the Deus Deus Meo, my God. My God, Why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me? It is a song that is filled with despair, yet its despair pours out the firm foundation of our greatest hope in victory. And Psalm 22 recounts, upon the Lord's greatest weakness, even death on a cross, our greatest strength is also planted in the deep earth of all living and being. The sort of details of his death are recounted in this song, written many centuries before his birth. The dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. And yet, amidst this narrative of woe, our Lord announces not despair, but rather joy in the courts of his Father. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. When he cried unto him, he heard. What else could these remarkable lines from the same song mean but that our God, who hangs on a cross, calls to his Father in heaven in tones of praise and thanksgiving? Even while he wears the human clothes he has worn and have been scourged and beaten and crucified in four words, my God, he announces glory and honor to God. And amidst this inner joy, which nails and lances cannot touch, he issues in the final lines of the psalm a proclamation, a divine fiat, written ages ago through men moved by the Holy Spirit. In the moment of his greatest weakness, he declares absolute sovereignty. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before him. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that go down to dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. What is this? What is this great act foretold ages before our Lord's nativity? Is it not the entire story of Good Friday, set down in Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, a story that he holds before them at the point of his death, a tale that begins in despair, unfolds in woe, and then culminates in joy and victory? And who are these people prophesied in this ancient and strange song? Who is that generation that would live to see the ends of the world turning unto the Lord? And who are those people yet to be born who declare his righteousness? Is it not us? Do we not even now stand on the bitterest yet sweetest moment of our lives. Amen.